Well, we're always looking for material, hymnology, that the faithful might not know about, basically to expose our Orthodox faithful to something beautiful that's easy listening, nice in your car, when you're on a walk. That's kind of the purpose of this, was to introduce them to something that's beautiful and hopefully inspire them to want to learn and grow and maybe attend Orthros.
You'll hear a bit of that new music in the next half hour, and we'll learn more about the worldwide impact one concerned mom can have.
So our foundation offers a few different things. First of all, we're dedicated to creating awareness that young people, adolescents, and young adults from the ages of 15 to 39 get cancer. With that in mind, we know that young people ignore symptoms. So we want to make sure that young people, their families, are aware that this is a possibility.
Those words remind me of a book which came out years ago. Maybe you remember it, The Last Thing We Talk About. It didn't deal with cancer, but it was close. Do you sometimes feel that if you don't talk about it, whatever it is, it will go away? Well, I'm here to tell you that's never true. More knowledge, actionable knowledge, is always positive, and sometimes it's life-changing or life-saving. Welcome to another edition of Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout, and our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. We're on the air each week to share with you the timeless truth of the Orthodox Christian faith and discuss how that truth and understanding can manifest itself in every aspect of your life. In the 32nd verse of the 8th chapter of the New Testament book of John, Jesus told the believers who were listening to him, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, I'm taking that out of its context, which is well worth studying, by the way. Again, that's the book of John, the 8th chapter, the 32nd verse. But the generic thought of knowing the truth being ultimately a helpful and positive thing is 100% accurate, which is a good title page, so to speak, for the book we're about to open as Father Chris talks with our first guest.
Today we have an interview about sorrow and about hope. It starts with a 15-year-old named Stephen, his cancer, and his mother's ministry of love. The result? The Stephen G. AYA Cancer Research Fund. Angie Galarakis, the president of the fund, is with us today. Welcome, Angie.
Thank you, Father.
Statistics are showing us that childhood cancer is the leading cause of disease-related death among children and adolescents in the United States. And about 70,000 adolescents and young adults are diagnosed with cancer each year. Where does your family fit in these statistics?
Father, my son Stephen was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 15. It came on him what we thought suddenly. He started complaining about a pain in his back. It ended up being stage 4 osteosarcoma with a softball-sized tumor in his L4 of his spine.
My goodness gracious. Is it common for young adults to find highly metastasized cancer like that?
Yes, Father. Unfortunately, what we're seeing in young adults and older teenagers as well, often they're diagnosed with these more aggressive cancers. First of all, the diseases themselves tend to be aggressive in nature, like osteosarcoma. And then other cancers among young women, breast cancers tend to be more aggressive, and also other diseases as well. But one of the issues that are concerns to the oncology community is that teenagers and young adults don't complain about their pains to their parents or to the people that care about them. And so they go through their day-to-day routine, ignoring the pain, and unfortunately, they don't go to the doctor for the proper testing until the cancer is further along and at times not curable.
And do we know why? What is causing this cancer in adolescents, or is it just a wide range of issues?
Well, it is a wide range of issues, but one of the things that we know is that there are certain cancers, for example, osteosarcoma, other types of sarcomas, bone cancers or soft tissue tumors that are very common among teenagers and young adults, the breast cancers, testicular cancer is very common in young adults mm-hmm. now. These cancers are different than they are when older adults get breast cancer or testicular cancer. So what happens is they metastasize into the lungs or into the brain, and it's harder to cure. Another issue has to do with that young adults are not often involved in clinical trials.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, it's been because clinical trials have not been made available, but today, fortunately, more clinical trials are taking place and are open to young adults. Mm-hmm. There's an awareness in the last, since about 2005, for more research to be done with this population.
You know, I have often, I was in the hospital myself back in 2009 and almost passed away.
Oh, my.
And I didn't have cancer, but I had a pancreatitis that people thought might be cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the doctors said to me, he says, you know, you better go home because we might kill you here. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, just realize that we practice medicine and we practice it on you. Because we really don't know the answers to many of these problems yet. We're trying. You know, don't get us wrong. We're trying. So my question to you, I mean, you're dealing with this not only as someone in a foundation, but someone who has a child who had it as well. So,
correct.
I mean, what is the cause of it? Because, all right, we know how they're treating it. They're giving it chemo. They're giving this and that, the different types of chemo cocktails, they call them. But what about the cause? Is anyone dealing with the cause?
Unfortunately, Father, the causes vary. There is some research that shows that genetics are involved, inheritance of certain types of DNA to, for example, certain types of breast cancer, lung cancers, small cell sarcomas.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also issues regarding environmental causes, particularly in pediatric brain tumors.
Mm-hmm.
There's a higher incidence of brain tumors among children than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
It's called neuroblastoma.
Yes, I've heard of that.
And then in young men, there's the testicular cancer. So that, again, is a concern. Is it an environmental issue? Because we have never seen the rate of cancer among young men and women as we have today.
And this is what I'm saying,
it's
huge.
It's a question and a huge concern, as I'm sure you're very well aware of as well, Father.
Sure. Well, let's talk about your foundation for a minute. What does the foundation offer?
So our foundation offers a few different things. First of all, we're dedicated to creating awareness that young people, adolescents and young adults from the ages of 15 to 39 get cancer. With that in mind, we know that young people ignore symptoms. So we want to make sure that young people, their families are aware that this is a possibility. Secondly, we want to create awareness and push for better research and find better ways of treating the cancers. Because as you know, Father, cancer treatment is very caustic to the body and can in itself cause death. As the doctor that you just mentioned, Father, you know, we're practicing on you, you know. The other thing that we are doing is in our advocacy work, we are also creating awareness for the need for more research, as I just mentioned, and then in turn, we are raising money to help support research. Particularly here in Cleveland, we have the Case Medical School Research Laboratory of Dr. Alex Wong, and he conducts pediatric oncology research.
Mm-hmm.
So his work is in a couple different areas, and he has researchers working on the various blastomas and the brain tumors, and also in the area of sarcoma, which in Stephen's case took place in his bone, but can be in other parts of the tissue and the ligaments and things like that. So those two cancers are being examined in his laboratory. One of the reasons, Father, that we also support research is that young people are aspiring to become physicians, and oftentimes they do not go into pediatric oncology, mm-hmm. number one, because it's a very depressing
field. It has to be.
Yeah. Secondly, the survivorship rate is not great, and unfortunately, the money isn't there. Mm-hmm. So some people opt out and don't go into that field. Research is a lonely business because you have to be very dedicated to finding cures. As you know, researchers take an entire lifetime to get an answer to one question sure. they're looking at. So we do that. In addition, we are also trying to help the survivor themselves learn more about their disease, so we support them financially as they pursue educational symposiums and conferences throughout the country. We try to send people each year to these conferences. For example, there's an organization called Stupid Cancer, which is for young adults, a great organization, and they do a super job with self-esteem and helping these young people that are feeling very lonely and very alienated from their friends because of this illness to get answers and feel get support as well.
Okay.
We've helped young people financially pay bills, getting gas money to go to attend clinical trials, because oftentimes when a person participates in a clinical trial, the medication is paid for, everything else, but not your transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So if a young adult has to quit his job, for example, we helped a young man who had to quit his job. His wife is working, and they have an infant at home. And this young man is participating in a clinical trial in Chicago, and he has to drive 90 miles one way just to go to this clinical trial once every couple weeks. So We sent his social worker gas cards, and he then handed them over to the young man so that he could not feel financially burdened going to his clinical trial. So
sure.
We try to do something to help the person in some way, Father.
All right. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
What is the hardest thing that you have had to experience in all of these wonderful things that you're doing, and then, of course, with your son, too?
Yes.
What's been the hardest thing?
Well, Father, obviously the first and foremost is watching my own child suffer, not once but twice, because he did have cancer twice, and praying and just wondering, you know, what the outcome was going to be. But I think, Father, the hardest thing for me is just seeing everyday kids dying of cancer. And I'm close to it because of my advocacy work. I know people. I've gotten to know many parents who have lost their children, their teenagers, their young adults to cancer.
It's awful.
And it just breaks my heart, Father.
Yeah, that's an awful thing, and very, very difficult, I'm sure.
Yes, it is.
Now, Stephen, if I'm correct, was 15 when you first found cancer.
Yes.
Tell us how old he is now and what he's been doing, because I'm sure this is going to be interesting to most people.
So Stephen is 25. Thank God,
gosh.
Father. It's a gift from God that he's 25 years old. He is now a college student here in Cleveland. He lives on the campus, but he's close to home. And we've been blessed with him, seeing him and watching him grow into a wonderful young man. He aspires to be a mathematician. And he also, though, stays close with some of the people at university hospitals. He works with the social workers and the patient navigators with young adults, and provides support to others who are currently going through the treatment process. So he's volunteering his time in that capacity, but also he's a student as well.
That's great. Yeah. Finally, where can people get more information on the Stephen G. AYA Cancer Research Fund?
Okay, so first of all, AYA stands for Adolescent and Young Adult.
Okay.
And the best place to go is to our website. And the website is called Fight, F-I-G-H-T, Conquer, C-O-N-Q-U-E-R, cure.org. That's Fight, Conquer, cure.org. Or you can search us on Facebook. We have a Twitter account as well.
Great.
And that is called Steve G. Fund, F-U-N-D. But again, those that are savvy in social media, if you go to our website, you'll see the links to Twitter and to Facebook right from our homepage.
Angie, thank you very much for being here today. Thank you for your courage and your willingness, of course, to not only share, but to also do something to eradicate cancer in the world today. God bless you.
Thank you very much, Father.
That website again is fightconquercure.org, and we'll have a link to that on our website. That should make it a little easier for you at myocn.net. That's myocn.net. Come Receive the Light is just one of many ministries under the umbrella of the Orthodox Christian Network. That's why we call it myocn and then .net. I'm Mike Trout. You're listening to Come Receive the Light, and our host each week is Father Christopher Metropoulos. It has been said that next to the Word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world. We have a treasure to share with you here on this edition of our broadcast as we present our feature conversation with a musical group called Ikona.
A good word, a good word, a
friends, they did it again. Ikona has released a new CD, Abundant Mercy, the Polielios. And with us today to tell us more about this new CD is Presbytera Stacy Dorrance. Welcome, Stacy. How are you?
I am wonderful, Father Chris.
You and I go back many years to Denver, and I had the blessing to join you and your sisters on the Pascha CD, Come Receive the Light, many, many years ago.
Yes.
So for me, this is like going home to talk to you again.
Thank you. There were such wonderful memories. I believe that was in 1993, Father Chris, if you can
believe
it? That.
Was it 93?
Yes.
I remember
yes.
flying down to Dallas, Texas, and we were in a recording studio, and you and your sisters were truly patient with me since you all have perfect pitch.
Oh,
and you,
right.
You kept me right on line. But this is very exciting. Let me ask you this. What started your love for sacramental music?
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, we have to go back to my childhood because my father has been the choir director for 50-plus years, and my mother the organist for 40. So we were raised in a family where church was the central point of our lives. And so, you know, we'd always hear Dad's choir, and even when we were growing up little, constantly in church every Sunday, never missed, hearing the beautiful music. And those days, we had Dr. Demas of blessed memory,
Dr. George,
who had raised up a junior choir.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we goofed around a lot, and we weren't always the best. But you know what? We learned a lot, and we gained a lot of the mind of the church through those hymns. And so it was becoming a part of us, and we didn't even know it.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time we were 15 and 16, we joined Dad's choir. And Dad would put us wherever he wanted, of course, because If he was lacking in sopranos, we'd be soprano. If he needed an alto, we'd be an alto. So we became very flexible.
Okay.
And we loved it. Mm-hmm. And it was such a joy for us to sing. And we had cousins and aunts and uncles and lots of wonderful parishioners. And choir was acceptable, and it was cool,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
So that's kind of our exposure, was mom and dad's really their witness to us of what they valued. We caught those values.
So it's pretty much in the genes here, because I'm thinking of you folks as the Olympic athletes of sacred music here.
And it had to be,
because some of these athletes, you wonder, how could they possibly do that? And with you folks, really, you are fantastic individuals. I know you all. And I also know that the gift that you've given to God is your music and your voice. Let's talk about what inspired you to create this new CD.
Okay. Well, we're always looking for material, hymnology, that the faithful might not know about, to bring it to them in a way that hopefully will inspire them to participate in more of the church services. So this last one, the Polyelios, which means abundant mercy, but there's also a double play on this word. It also is the chandelier that's hanging sometimes in the center of those old churches that sometimes would be swung around. So the Polyelios is spelled in two different ways. The one refers to the chandelier, the one refers to abundant mercy. These are a special set of hymns, probably some of the most beautiful hymns of our Orthodox faith, that were used to celebrate certain times of feasts during the year. And there's a set of three of them, and they alternate for the Mother of God, you know, for the saints, etc., or Lent. Well, these are done at a certain point during the Orthro service, and they can last up to 25 minutes. They're just beautiful hymns, and they just keep on going and going, and they were meant to be done antiphonally. So we thought, and sometimes we'll hear those during a communion hymn in America today, but we rarely hear them as they should be during the Orthro service. We thought it would be neat to bring a smattering of those, a sample of those, because they're so beautiful and so wonderful to listen to. And, of course, they're from Psalms 134 and 135. And so we condensed a few of them because they're so long we didn't want to, you know, bore people. Mm-hmm. But we thought we would introduce them to this beautiful set of hymns. And so that's what we did. And then we also brought a couple other hymns. We put some doxologies on there, a couple other hymns that you'll hear on that CD. But basically to expose our Orthodox faithful to something beautiful that's easy listening, nice in your car, mm-hmm. when you're on a walk. That's kind of the purpose of this, was to introduce them to something that's beautiful and hopefully inspire them to want to learn and grow and maybe attend Orthros.
Okay, good. Well, we know that that's something that most people don't attend. That's the service before the Divine Liturgy on Sunday, which frankly mm-hmm. is, or any day, which mm-hmm. frankly is magnificent. The theology of the church is unpacked in those.
Oh, my gosh. And Father Chris, you're right. And Great Vespers the same, you know.
Sure.
If you really want to learn the faith, attend Great Vespers. Mm-hmm. Attend Orthros, because that's where all the teaching is revealed. You know, the liturgy only has a few hymns that change each week. You
That's
know?
Right.
However, Vespers and Orthros, you learn the tones of our church. You learn what's being celebrated in depth, because it's all shown in the hymnology. So attending those services is really as important as attending Divine Liturgy, you know, because then you get all the teaching, and then the fullness of the Divine Liturgy makes more sense.
Sure.
It's kind of the culmination. So we are very much advocates of inspiring people to attend more church services. That's really at the heart of our ministry, Father Chris, is trying to bring music in the language of our people here in America and the Americas and the English-speaking world, so that they are inspired to attend more services, because as an Orthodox Christian, that is at the heart of who we are.
Sure.
And it's where we learn who we are, and it's where we learn who our Lord is. And when we learn who our Lord is, then we live a more full life, and we understand the purpose of life. And so these are the things that we think about as Ikona. And I wanted to say at one point, we feel so it's so presumptuous that we called ourselves Ikona, because
why did you do that? Why did you call yourselves? That's a good question.
It's like, who are these girls? And
why
do they think they're icons? You know, at the time, you know, back then, there was no English available, really, Father. I mean, we go to the services and it was all Greek,
right.
And that was fine. But as a kid, it was kind of hard, you know. And so we wanted to do something. We wanted to understand our faith. We were already inspired. We loved being in choir. We loved singing, but we wanted to understand it. So we said, you know, we got to do something, but we didn't know what that would be. One day our husbands sat us down and said, girls, how are you using your talents? And we said, I don't know. And they said, well, you need to do something for the church. And we were very awestruck by that. So that was kind of the beginning of thinking about who we were and what we wanted to do. So we went and made a CD, and we said, we got to name ourselves. We're kind of a musical group here. And we said, well, we want to be little iconists of Christ. We
want to
be
that's
icons.
That's
so that's how it all kind of started.
Talk to us a bit about, Stacey, talk about the CD. Is it in Greek or English? I think you said it's English, right?
It's mostly, of course. Everything we do is going to be mostly English with a little bit of Greek thrown in, and that's exactly what we did on this CD.
Okay. And finally, how can someone purchase your new CD?
Oh, goodness. So we have a new, brand new website, so www.icona.com. We're also on Amazon and iTunes, and we're also working on getting out there in some other Google, blah, 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 other places as well. So be on the lookout for that. We're on Facebook, so you can look us up there, and please like us. We would enjoy that support.
Okay.
We always appreciate prayers. And
well, listen, Presbytera, Stacey Dorrance of Icona, three wonderful sisters I'm looking at your website now. And that's how I remember you. You haven't changed at all. We traveled around the country, and Stacey was part of a fabulous group from Hellenic College and Holy Cross School of Theology. We traveled the entire country, visited hundreds of parishes, and spoke and witnessed to Christ and brought many, many students there. I know that your witness now through Icona will continue to do this wonderful work. Give our love and our respect to your sisters. May God bless your effort. And people, I want you to go to this website at icona.com and buy this particular CD. You're going to love it. Thank you, Stacey.
Father Chris, thank you. And thank you for your inspiration and love. We really appreciate you.
God bless you.
You're listening to Come Receive the Light from the Orthodox Christian Network. I'm Mike Trout. Our host is Father Christopher Metropoulos. And you know, as a nonprofit ministry, one of the ways you can help support this outreach, this worldwide media ministry, is to make a purchase through our web store, which links you to Amazon. Anything you purchase through our web store on Amazon generates a contribution back to the ministry. And of course, all of the CDs from Icona are there available on Amazon. Our website again is myocn.net, and a link to our web store is there on our homepage. That's myocn.net. Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can go to the website and click on the Listen button. All of our archives are available to you through that. That's myocn.net, and then the Listen button on the homepage. Join us next week at this same time. Tell your friends about the broadcast, and remember to always have faith in what you listen to.